the worst case scenario for the Broncos Raiders game certainly happened. The worst case was to lose. I guess get blown out by more than 10, which 10 was kind of generous, but this is where you get to that low spot overall for the Broncos. Vic Fangio, this is just wash, rinse, repeat. I came to I don't know if it's a revelation or more of a realization that maybe Broncos country was duped this year. That this whole idea of George Payton and, we re-signed Von Miller for nothing less. We tried to get him down, but hey, we just wanted to run it back. We're going to go get Teddy Bridgewater, a career backup quarterback for the most part. We're going to keep our, head coach Vic Fangio intact. Elway's going to step away. George Payton's coming in. And I thought, okay, maybe this team reloading. They think, okay, we got Patrick Surtain. We're going to really stack up on the DBs because that was a weakness for us. He signed a lot of one-year deals, which is kind of interesting. It's a stopgap year. This feels like a stopgap year. This feels like a forgotten year. And, I was tweeting about this last night going back and forth, and I said, this is why, I question the hire of Vic Fangio. I still question the hire. And I question the John Elway stepping down when he did. Like, why not finish this year? John Elway, Vic Fangio, Drew Lock as the starting quarterback, Von Miller, run this whole thing back. One more year with everybody intact. Instead, no, John Elway elevated himself away from making decisions. You brought in George Payton, which there's no guarantee George Payton is a Bronco next year. There's no guarantee that your ownership's going to come in and say, yeah, that went well. I mean, they're 3-3. It is weird that we are sitting here like the sky is falling. They're 3-3, but it's how they're 3-3. Jacksonville had to get the hell out of the country in order to win. Probably because nobody knows about Urban Meyer's things going on, right? So your Giants are getting obliterated. Like, the teams you beat are not good. The teams that are, the Baltimore Ravens are a contender. They just sliced the Chargers. The Steelers had a hard time beating Geno freaking Smith, who hasn't played starting quarterback since like 1947 and last weekend with Russell down. And that's the team that beat you last week. Denver doesn't look like they could beat many teams. No, I was duped. I feel like we were duped. This is a stopgap year. This is, hey, you know what? What's the point of hiring a new coach and going through all that? The paperwork, am I right? What's the point of going through all that when John's not going to be here next year? George, maybe, but what's the point? Because the owner might come in, and I said that anyway at the beginning of the season. I said, it's going to be tough. It's tough to hire for a coaching job when it's, but you may not be here. Because if you get an owner that's hands-on, even a little bit hands-on, that wants to hire guys in his image, then it's going to be a tough job to keep. It's going to be a tough go for you. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Busy show today. We got Broncos here in the first half hour. Then we got Dylan McCaffrey joining us as we get to the quarterback room presented by First Advantage. Dylan, we'll talk about another rough game for the UNC Bears. Scott Patchen's show at 1 o'clock. Stud D lineman leads the team in sacks with 5.5. Talk to him too. But for now, we'll stay right here. First Advantage, or the Power to Play Sports poll question. Available at thewholeshow.com. Should the Broncos fire Vic Fangio before the season ends? Will Denver fire Vic Fangio? Not should. I think most of you think they should. Will they? Now, here's why I say no. I mean, if you're George Payton, what good does winning 9 games do? If Vic is going to be a guy that's probably going to eke out 6-7 wins, maybe, you get a better draft pick. What good is winning 9 or 10? If that's what you're trying, and because that's what you'd fire a coach for, and you'd say, hey, we actually feel like we could get better. You feel like when you fire a coach midseason, you feel like the guy behind him, which would not be Pat Shurmur, could come in and somehow rally the troops, that a new leader could help. Colfax, I just feel like I've been right about this whole thing, man. Let's go back 3 years ago. I've been saying it. Why did you hire Vic Fangio? 61 at the time when they hired him, 60 or 61. Never had a head coaching job. Oh, is he because he was a defensive-minded guy? Okay, so was Gary Kubiak was an offensive-minded guy, and that year they won the Super Bowl, which was his real year, because the next year I think he had one foot in, one foot out. They had the best defense in the league, and he was an offensive-minded guy. The hire made no sense then. The quarterback debacles that we've continuously seen over the years. Mac Jones is lighting it up. Josh Allen, watch him light it up tonight against the Titans. Justin Fields is, you know, he lost to the Packers, which, as Aaron Rodgers screamed at a fan, I've owned you my whole life. It was hilarious. Liked that. I liked that version of Rodgers a little bit. The fun version. Where do we go from here, guys? You just lost to a Raiders team that has a special teams head coach and Rich Piscacci. Nobody knew who that was before this week. And he just absolutely worked you in every aspect. Vic Fangio's challenging play calls that I'm pretty sure my grandma wouldn't challenge because they were so obvious that they were going to be losses. You lost. If it would have came down, like let's say the Broncos get that, they do get that onside kick. Let's say they score quickly and there's 45 seconds left. You have one timeout left. You use two timeouts on pointless challenges. It's that kind of crap that continues to happen, man. He forgets to call timeouts because he was too focused on defense. That was last year. When they went for it on fourth down, which we normally like aggressive guys, but what was the play call there? It's fourth and one. It's pretty sad right now when I feel like Javonte Williams, I don't know if he's the best player on your team, but he's pretty damn close. He certainly seems to care the most. Todd Senteo's getting the job done. Teddy Bridgewater. They both wore two gloves. That's why I'm making that connection. Eastside Chris. Brady, the happiest Bronco last night driving home, had to be Drew Locke. Bet he was thinking, thank God I'm not in the middle of this train wreck. 17 hits to Teddy. 5 sacks. Max Crosby had 3. Teddy was hit or sacked on 30% of his dropbacks. Yeah, I bet you're right, Eastside Chris. Also, listen to the game on radio. Did Denver not play with front four? Never heard anything about them. Oh, what do you mean, like the D-line? They play a 3-4 for the most part in some situations. Thirdly, what do you think about Eric Bieniemy next year as head coach? How about Byron Leftwich? Byron Leftwich, the guy teaming up with Tom Brady there in Tampa Bay, that's a name that I keep hearing about that I like. Eastside Chris, do you think when Urban handed out the game ball, he just kept it? First and only NFL win. Had to get out of the country, right, to get that W. The best football team in the state is Air Force. There's no question about it. What are you saying? They're better than the Broncos? No. As far as relevant in their conference, sure. They're the best team. They play in the Mountain West Conference. Sure. Sorry, I'm not getting all excited for Air Force, noob. I'm not there. Although they did handle Boise State pretty easily. They were better than a Broncos team, for sure. Yeah, they're the best college football team in the state. Broncos are in trouble. I mean, you're not firing Vic today, folks. He's not going anywhere. Let's see. Teddy Bridgewater came out and talked a little bit about, well, I mean, here he is kind of taking the blame, but man, he was limping away off the podium. Here's Teddy.
Wish I could sit up here and, you know, be smiling, talk about a victory. But today was one of those days, man, where you're happy that you got a Thursday night game coming up. Get to quickly put it behind you. I always tell the guys, man, when you win, you point the finger at your teammates, and when you lose, you point the thumb at yourself. And today was one of those days where I definitely point the thumb at myself, man, take, you know, accountability, responsibility for just a lot of the things that went wrong today, whether it was the turnovers. We could have been better in many areas, but like I said, we get to put this game behind us, move forward, focus on Cleveland.
I mean, in one sense, yeah, I think we're eager to see, but I tweeted this out. If you can't beat this Raiders team in this much disarray, then who can you beat? Here's Von Miller. Kind of the same type of sentiment that Teddy's bringing to the table.
Basically, it's the same that I tell myself, you know, after every single loss, you know. We're not doing enough to win, you know. It's nobody's fault. We got to point the finger at ourselves. You know, we got the team. You know, we got four head coaches. We got all type of talented people everywhere. You know, we just got to focus on our job. We got to do what we do. We got to trust each other. And I feel like if we can do that, you know, we'll be able to win. You know, it's, you know, whenever you lose a couple of games, you know, everybody's a little bit open to suggestion. You know, people start, you know, thinking maybe we should do this, maybe we should do that. You know, maybe, you know, if we try this or try that. You know, and this is pro ball. It's not little league or high school. You know, all the guys that we got here are top of the line. You know, all the players that we got top of the line. All the coaches that we got top of the line. From the media guys to the chefs, everybody's top of the line. We got to trust everybody to do their job. And if we can do that, we'll be all right.
To the media guys. Vaughn's saying that this is just first-class football. That's not good. Because what's the issue then? What is the issue? Their defense is too good on paper to be this bad. They couldn't stop the Raiders at all. There was nothing to be happy about with this one. Derek Carr lit them up. 341 yards, dude. 18 of 27. Those 18 completions were for 341 yards and two touchdowns. I mean, they ran when they needed to. They didn't have to run much, but when they ran, they got 4 or 5 yards. Josh Jacobs had 3.3 yards per carry. Kenyon Drake had 8.5, so it kind of averages out. Yeah, 3.7 yards per carry. Henry Ruggs, on the very first play of the game, or first drive of the game, he made it seem like, okay, this defense is going to be rough. Justin Simmons doesn't look right. He got a max contract. The questions are there now. This is what happens when you lose to a Raiders team. If Gruden would have been on the sideline yesterday, would we be talking like this? Not as severely, but we'd certainly be close because Vic Fangio was on the hot seat before the season began. He cooled it off by winning three games that he was supposed to win, but you drop three in a row, you go right back to it. You just lost all that progress. And now you got Cleveland coming to town. Here's Vic Fangio talking about Teddy Bridgewater and the turnovers at this stage.
Yeah, obviously Teddy hasn't been a turnover guy. Part of that is, you know, when you fall behind and you're throwing it a lot, that's the risk you run. You know, once you become an unbalanced offense, the chance of throwing interceptions goes up, and they went up in this game.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty good, pretty great observation. There. Here's more from Vic Fangio. The deep ball's not there. Teddy and Cortland Sutton just do not seem to be on the same page, but they're just not getting it. And on the defensive side, the deep ball's hurting them. So can't convert deep balls, can't stop deep balls.
Yeah, we didn't play good enough, obviously, and I think it came down to the deep balls on both sides of the ball. We had our chances to make some, and particularly in the first half, and that we didn't. We came close. And when they had their chances to make them, they made them. And we'll work hard to get that rectified.
You don't have the quarterback that can do it. He overthrew Cortland Sutton. Teddy looked off. This isn't about Teddy, because it's about the coaching staff. But, folks, he's got a backup quarterback. He's your starting quarterback. You're going up against Derek Carr, who's a proven starter in this league. You're going up against Baker Mayfield, who, through the ups and downs, is a proven starting quarterback in this league. As much as we like to hear Teddy and as great of a leader he is, why was he not a starter anywhere else? No, just go to Denver. Vic Fangio, why was he not a head coach anywhere else? No, just go to Denver. Pat Shurmur just got fired from the Giants. Hey, you can be in charge of the offense because Vic doesn't know what he's doing on the offensive side of the ball. Pat Shermer's rough. He's not a great offensive coordinator, but Vic Fangio says no need to worry, Pat. We're not making any changes.
Coach, do you imagine making any significant coaching changes or changes in coaching responsibilities, including for yourself?
No.
There it is. There's our friend D-Mac, who's been on the show before. There you have it. Colfax, we're going to take a quick break. I'll get to the good, the bad, the ugly on the other side. It's ugly in Denver. Now 3-3, 1-2 at home. Only 1,000 no-shows at Empower Field, man. I mean, they will come to these games, but they weren't happy leaving. 21 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show. We're powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. We'll be right back.
Northern Colorado's voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
25 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Shout out to On the Rocks Liquor, another game beer of the week in the books for us. Last week was Sam Adams Oktoberfest. This one's they'll do local stuff, they'll do national stuff. Last week was, of course, this one's from Elysian Brewing in Seattle. Night Owl Pumpkin Ale. Kind of perfect for the time, right? Pick up selections from Elysian or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru open until midnight. They also got their tastings going on Friday, free tasting from 4 to 6. This Friday, the good folks at the Heart Distillery in Windsor will be on hand to share tastings of their delicious spirits. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Colfax, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend that was. Good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Well, the good for me, and I know the Buffs won, but that was against the worst team in the history of the world, against Arizona, although everything went right for CU. But the good is no doubt about it. The Colorado State Rams, now 3-3 after starting the season 0-2, 2-0 in Mountain West Conference play. They stand atop the Mountain West Mountain right now. All they got to do is keep winning. They beat New Mexico 36-7.
DeJo, and he's got McBride, and McBride wide open. They're going to mark him at the 13-yard line. Centeno wants to throw, and he'll deliver, and that is caught. And they're going to take it for the touchdown. It's Gary Williams. Touchdown, Rams.
Gary Williams, yeah. Nice job. One reception for Gary, but it was a big one. One touchdown for 43 yards. Trey McBride, have a day. Seven receptions, 135 yards. Every time he caught it, he averaged two first downs. Ty McCulloch, he got a deep ball as well, 41-yarder. Toddy Centeno's connecting on those long balls. He had 289 yards plus 35 yards rushing. Is he becoming a quarterback right before our very eyes? The Rams are 3-3. Don't look now. They got a hell of a shot to get over 500. They got Utah State, which is an interesting battle, coming up this weekend. Don't forget, the Scott Patchen show is at 1 o'clock. The bad, UNC dropped 3 in a row. I get it. I mean, we all kind of predicted this. These were the teams to watch out for. I mean, these are top 25 teams in the FCS. I'm not making excuses for UNC. It is what it is. It's at the end of the day, it's Ed McCaffrey. It's still first-year head coach. Bunch of first-year guys or guys that are new to this team. It's going to take a while, Bears fans. You don't just magically wave Ed McCaffrey over your program and it changes overnight. So keep the faith. Keep that excitement because it's still exciting. But this is still college football. It takes time, folks. The ugly. And listen, time's running out on this one. This is year three for Vic Fangio. Broncos get absolutely dominated by the Las Vegas Raiders.
Bridgewater looking deep for Sutton, and it's picked off. Merrick, his first NFL interception, and on the return with some blockers across midfield and tackled at the 45.
Teddy had a rough game, and again, I'm not putting this all on him, but it was a bad game. Three interceptions, sacked five times. He had the fumble. It was a rough go. The offensive line was atrocious. Play calling was weird again, and we just continue to spiral into this never-ending, okay, well, it's the quarterback. Oh, it's the O-line. Well, the defense isn't as good. Where's Vaughn, Dixon asks. Yeah, all those things, you know what? The criticism is fair. Everything about this Broncos organization right now, if you're criticizing them, is absolutely fair. The timing of George Payton, Vic Fangio, Vaughn's renewal or extension to his contract, everything about it has been a failure at this point since hiring Vic Fangio, since hiring Vance Joseph. Ever since Gary Kubiak left, this has not gone according to plan. 30 minutes after the hour, we got a lot to sort through in the world of Broncos country. But first, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're switching gears. We're going to talk to Dylan McCaffrey in our quarterback room presented by First Advantage. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. The Quarterback Room with Dylan McCaffrey presented by First Advantage.
Minutes after the hour, welcome back to the show. This is the time where we step aside and we talk all things University of Northern Colorado Bears. It's the Quarterback Room presented by First Advantage with Dylan McCaffrey. Dylan, my friend, well, it was a rough one beforehand, just hearing about, the fact that you guys might be shorthanded again, and that's kind of been that theme in this rough stretch, these last three games. So kind of knowing that, you were asking some guys to step up in some pretty key positions.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's tough. We face a lot of adversity through the week, and then that's never a good thing going into Saturdays. But, you know, at the end of the day, we still got to play better than we did. But, a lot proud of some of those guys, you know, who had to fill in roles. We had some guys playing both ways this week because, you know, frankly, we were really short.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that over the weekend too, Dylan. A lot of teams, you know, this was a lot of the teams that played last year, whether it was fall or spring, they went through this stuff. So maybe they're even, you know, not necessarily better equipped, but somewhat equipped to go through it this year. This is kind of that new territory, obviously, because we know UNC did not play last year in the fall or the spring. So and that's a tough thing to recover. Like you just said, you have guys playing both ways. Guys haven't done that maybe until their early years of high school.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's a hard thing to do. And in high school, you can somewhat do it, but in college, I can't even express how hard that is, man. You need all the rest you can get when you do get it, and that can be exhausting for those guys. So,
yeah, I think that's a very interesting thing because, like you said, the college level, you are eating, breathing, and sleeping your position, your defensive position, your offensive position, or whatever. But at this point, you know, you're kind of just needing bodies out there. Obviously, you guys are all amazing athletes to get to this level, but still, the amount of study and preparation that goes into just your position alone, and then you're asked to kind of switch on a dime.
Yeah, no doubt. And, I mean, we see that teams are really, in college, they're too good a lot of times to be doing that. And guys that have been able to do that, I mean, there's definitely a handful of players that have been able to do that, you know, throughout the country. And those are usually those players you look at and you're like, wow, they're a freak. They're talented. They're athletic. So it's something special. And that's a rare thing. And obviously some players have done that. And, I mean, I don't know how they do. It's good for them.
We're talking to Dylan McCaffrey. It's our Quarterback Room presented by First Advantage, also brought to you in part by Windsor Mill Tavern. You've heard Dylan talk about it on the ads throughout the station here. Dylan, now you turn the page and you're looking to, okay, there's still some tough teams ahead. Again, this is the Big Sky Conference. You and I talked about it last week. It's a battle. But, you know, when you go back and you look at it, UC Davis, are those positives that you can take away, especially on the offensive end, trying to say, hey, how can we get this thing to all just kind of click together where we can consistently move the ball down the field and get some scoring on the board?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there are certain positives from the game, especially most of that came from the defensive side. I thought they played, you know, a pretty good game overall. Offensively, I got to do a better job of putting them in better situations because it's hard for defense. I mean, when they're getting stops and then they got to go right back on the field, man. That's something we always preach about, especially with a good defense. We got to do a better job of playing complimentary football, you know, giving them some break on the sideline and kind of getting drives together that don't force them to go out exhausted because they played really well throughout. Offensively, I mean, there's a lot we need to work on, obviously. But, you know, there's some positives. I thought we ran the ball a little bit better than some games we have in the past, and that's a testament to those guys up front in the back. So that was good to see as well.
Yeah, do you? And that's obviously going to be something I imagine you guys will continue to look to do, get that running game going. Brandon Belgrave got it going with 65 mm-hmm. yards, Sledge with 55 yards, you with almost 30 yards. So finding a way to get about 130, 140 yards on the ground, I'm sure that's something that you'll want to build on coming up this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. That's something that we've kind of struggled with in the past, but it's a staple of our offense, you know, and we need to be able to run the ball to open things up. And that's the thing with all kind of pro-style offenses is that's a key factor. So that was really good to see. Hopefully that does help open things up. I mean, when teams got to respect that, then it opens up the pass. And then when teams have to respect the pass, that's when you got to be able to run the ball. So, you know, that was one positive, but still we need to work on finishing drives. I mean, there's a lot to work on from that.
Dylan, how much of this, I mean, we're talking about it. I mean, it's like that whole, Murphy's Law, right? Everything that can go wrong. I mean, you're obviously facing the best teams, perhaps some of the best teams in all of FCS. I mean, you're looking at top 25 teams left and right. We knew what UC Davis was. They're 6-1 now.
Yeah.
We talked about the law, you know, as far as the players being out and some of that, you're just kind of hearing that a couple of days before kickoff. So you have that. Plus, you guys haven't been together that long. I mean, I know we're mid-season now. We're getting there for sure. But at the end of the day, this is still a new era beginning, and those first years are always interesting. So, I mean, Dylan, it kind of seems like it's a mixture of all those things at this stage.
No doubt. It definitely is a mixture of all those things. I mean, like I said, I've said this in weeks past, and it still hasn't quite happened, but especially offensively, finding, you know, exactly what's going to click, and something we've kind of been waiting on, and we really need to pull that together soon, and I believe we will. I think it's a matter of when, not if, which is a really good feeling to have. But it's something that's definitely got to get done.
Yeah, well, now you look, you set your sights on a Southern Utah team. And let me just say this, that UC Davis game, you know, what was it, 11-0 at halftime. So, I mean, you guys were there. And then it was one of those games that kind of just chipped away. The score mm-hmm. makes it look a little bit worse, obviously 32-3. But it was a chipping away. And I know, like you said, you're trying to get that offense rolling. But this one felt a little bit different than the two games prior.
Yeah, no doubt. We were in this one for sure. And it's another one of those things where it was a must-win game for them. And it kind of came down, you know, to that a lot of the ways, which is something as a team we need to treat every game as a must-win and not let any of that happen, not let that slip. But, I mean, testament to them because they're a good football team. But something we're working on, and that's kind of what I'm talking about a lot with the, hey, it's just got to click, you know. Mentality's got to click, and it will.
Four games remaining, one of those against Southern Utah, a team that they've certainly had their struggles. They're searching for their first conference win. What can you tell us about the Thunderbirds at this stage, Dylan, that you guys have seen so far? I know early in the week, but so far, what have you guys seen?
They're good. They've put some good games together, and they haven't had a conference win yet, like you mentioned, but they're another team that's held a lot of teams close, you know, and they've fought every single game, to be honest with you. And that's and going into this, we're thinking that, you know, we know they're going to be playing fast, and they're really going to want this one because, I mean, you look at our record, and this to them is a game that, you know what, hey, we need to get our first win. But for us, it's the same thing, you know. We need to beat this team. It's a must-win game, and I think it'll be a hell of a fight because of that.
Yeah, it's an important one, no question about it. We're talking to Dylan McCaffrey. He's a part of our quarterback room presented by First Advantage. Dylan, why is it that when you look at college sports, because we see this up and down the board, I don't care whether you're talking Power 5, whether you're talking Group of 5, FCS, Big Sky Conference, new coaching staff comes in. It's a new look. Everybody's excited, of course, really excited because of that McCaffrey last name, of course, Dylan. But at the same time, it takes so much time to really get things rolling, especially when this program was in a state of disarray for the last, what, nine or 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. I mean, every change in the sports world is kind of tough to navigate through because everyone's so accustomed to certain ways. And then when you bring in a whole new staff, one, a lot of players leave, they bring in a lot of guys, and it's kind of gelling that old and new together. And then also kind of implementing new philosophies, new plays. I mean, football, it's pretty obvious because you're implementing whole new systems of the game, which some people haven't quite learned or as well versed on and as others is, and it's something that just takes a little bit for those to click. So really everyone to one, get bought in, two, to feel comfortable in the system. I look at a team like Eastern Washington, and they were playing it, and you could tell those guys had repped those concepts, those plays multiple times, probably well over 1,000 times in their career, because they were just look smooth with it. And that's something that we're trying to establish. We're trying to get reps on reps on reps, and really just be able to almost do what we need to do with our hands tied behind our back or our eyes closed. It's just something that's second nature, those movements, that teaching style, those philosophies, which is something we're trying to implement.
Now, sitting at 2-5 overall, 1-3 in the conference, you have four games remaining. You said it. This is when you're really hoping to see things click. Sometimes all you need is a play, is a consistent string of plays. See that football go over the goal line a couple of times, and if you guys can get that done against Southern Utah, you could still turn this season around.
No doubt. Yeah. No. And that's something we're hoping we're really working towards. I mean, that's something that. You heard it get said a lot that you just need to stack good days on top of each other. And that goes for all of football. And consistency is such a big part of this sport. You know, one good drive isn't going to win you a game. One good play, most of the time, won't win you a game. It's about stacking good days, stacking good plays, stacking good reps on top of each other consistently. And it's a hard thing to do, but it's something that you have to in order to be a successful program and a successful team.
Bears are going to bounce back at Southern Utah. That's a 6:00 kickoff there. So we're looking forward to that, Dylan. Dylan, a side note, last week it was announced, I think it was during the Ed McCaffrey coaches show, that your dad, of course, Coach McCaffrey, was inducted into the Colorado Sports Hall of Fame. What did that mean to you? What did that mean to your family?
Yeah, that was so cool to see. I mean, he was very obviously thankful. We're so happy for him. We feel like it's well-deserved, and I'm just really happy for him. You know, that's something that is such a special opportunity, and a lot of extremely talented players, athletes are in that, and it's just very humbling and cool to have, you know, my dad be honored in that.
Yeah, no, and it was kind of a special week, really, for Broncos. I mean, you're looking mm-hmm. at it was Sunday. We had honoring Mike Shanahan, another guy you know really well, and then of mm-hmm. course the news with your dad. So it was kind of a neat thing getting a chance to talk about some of these Broncos greats throughout the course of the week.
Yeah, no doubt, it was really cool. That was such a special time period for that team, and I mean, it's awesome to look back on and remember. So I think that was a very cool thing.
Dylan, we're rooting for you, man. See if you guys can turn this thing around, and let's see what you guys can do against Southern Utah. Get back at it, and next Monday we're talking about a big Bears W.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you having me.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. Take care of yourself.
All right, yep.
All right,
how's it going?
Dylan McCaffrey, our quarterback room, presented by First Advantage. Also, Windsor Mill Tavern. Got to try this out. You heard the ad. Dylan talking about pretty much all of these amazing, unique menu items. You're going to have to check them out. I tell you what, I got a $20 gift certificate for the Windsor Mill Tavern right now. Let's go caller number 3 on the First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310. A $20 gift certificate for the Windsor Mill Tavern. It's a fantastic place, man. I love this spot. $20 to caller number 3, 970-353-1310. 47 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. We'll wrap up hour number 1. Try to turn the page, Broncos Raiders week, if we can. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Northern Colorado's voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Prep sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Hull Show. Thanks for being with us here inside the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Let's read a couple of your texts. I asked you 3 weeks ago, did the Broncos have too much appetizer, salad, and soup? Oh, you said Chris. Apparently, they are full and can't get through the main course. Please, sir, can we get a go-home pack? I guess that's one way to spin it. Noob, I don't think Denver could beat the Lions right now. Yeah, I I don't know that they could. Who could they beat? The three teams that they beat? Did Jacksonville get better since? Denver doesn't look like they've improved in many areas. I mean, Brandon McManus is the highlight. Great. The guy can't miss. Just get in field goal range if you can. Dixon, maybe some more time practicing throwing incompletions this week will help. Yeah, that was a Pat Shurmur golden one, wasn't it? We've actually been practicing incomplete passes. Well, it's working. It's been working. You got the highest paid secondary in the league. That's not a strength. You've got, you know, a high paid, fairly high paid running back in Melvin Gordon, and it's not really been a strength. Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon had 21 carries between the two of them. 53 yards for Williams, 50 yards for Melvin. Everything just seems off, guys. Even when Vic Fangio challenges plays, you're like, why? I mean, didn't he challenge one, two of them in the fourth quarter? Or was it late third? You know, the challenges are rough at this stage. That Noah Fant touchdown, I mean, it was clearly not a touchdown. His toe was out of bounds. So, I mean, you're looking at a lot of these situations, and when they go for it on fourth down, it doesn't even feel like the timing was right to do that. So you have that side of it. Then you have the play calling with Pat Shurmur. It just doesn't feel right. Even when you look at this team, when they're doing the right things, it's because, okay, Teddy did scramble out and found a way to make some kind of craziness happen where they'd get a first down. I don't know where you go from here, but you're in no man's land. I'm sorry, guys. Even though our Power to Play Sports poll question is up and it's, hey, do you think the Broncos will fire Vic Fangio? I don't. I don't think he's here next year. I don't think Teddy's here next year. I don't think Von Miller's here next year. I don't think Pat Shurmur's here next year. I don't think Drew Locke's here next year. Is George Payton here next year? It's why this whole thing was weird. You know, when Elway stepped down, it's like you got a new ownership coming in. You got one more year. One more year to try to ride this thing out. This is what you created, for better or worse. You hired Vic. You drafted Drew Locke. You hired Pat Shurmur. Now, George Payton will get the credit for re-signing Von Miller. Well, if you're asking, now look at that. 75% of the hooligans say no. They will not. Because you won't. We're all reading the tabloids, man. We're all reading the headlines. You got new ownership coming in next year. What's the point of firing him now? What's the point of trying to retool this thing? You're 6 weeks in. You're six games in. What's the point? You might as well just let him ride it out, because you're not firing him before Thursday's game. So then at that point, you'll be 7 weeks in. Halfway through the season, pretty much. So, unfortunately, it's not going to happen. Your best bet is to just somehow hope that your stars, your Justin Simmons, your Von Millers, your Cortland Suttons, and your Teddy Bridgewaters, and your offensive line figure this thing out. Obviously, I don't think many people in Broncos country believe that that's going to happen. But that's it. You're in it. This is what you've created. This stopgap year is, you've set the table. Dixon says, I think everyone agreed that the defense was going to have to carry this team in order to win some of the 50-50 games, or games they may not normally win, and this vaunted defense ain't all that. Well, it's not right now. No, and I don't know. I don't know what the solution is. You know, it's like so many Broncos. What is it? Is it the air? Because every year the Broncos on paper have something that's supposed to be good. The offensive line a few years back, they fixed it up. It was supposed to be better. Teddy Bridgewater's supposed to be an upgrade. This defense was supposed to be in the elite category. None of it's worked. Why is that? Is it because you constantly don't have the right head man in charge? Coaching matters, folks. Coaching absolutely matters. All right, we're turning the page. We've got Scott Patchen coming up. Colorado State, don't look now. This Rams team is 3-3. They're on top of the Mountain West Mountain, and they're looking to remain there. We're talking to Scott next. Don't go anywhere. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.